and everlasting life, and you can't get any better than that. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, Paul said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." And when you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God sealed you until the day of redemption. And you don't ever have to worry about losing your salvation.
Amen.
Let's see if I'm on now. Tasting 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. Amen. And after you too. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
How many'd rather be here and be in jail?
Amen.
How many'd rather be here and be in hell?
Amen.
Absolutely. How many'd rather be here and be in the White House? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I wanted to be in the White House, I'd hope there's a whole lot of people in there that wasn't there when they got there. Say amen. God's good, ain't he? I've had a good night. Had a good night's rest last night. Had a good day today, and I'm feeling pretty good tonight. Still pray for this voice that God would touch it and help me preach. How many of you got that good King James Bible? Praise God. Amen. Good crowd tonight. I believe I said that last night, didn't I? I don't know how good we are, but I'm glad you're here. Thank God for you coming. Amen. It's like old times down here, brother. Praise God. I've enjoyed all the good singing. And James and the trio, thank y'all for singing. And who else sung? Teresa? Where's she at? I always have enjoyed to hear her play that piano and sing. Preached several meetings for Brother Ben Puvia when he was here. And she was always playing that piano, singing, always enjoyed it.
Yes.
Amen. God's good, ain't it?
Amen.
Y'all look like y'all ready to go to meeting, are you?
Amen.
Amen. All right, take your Bibles, and if you're physically able to stand, I want you to stand and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 26. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 26, if you will, please. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled." I expect you and I would be troubled too if we used to see somebody walking on the water, especially Jesus. We'd be troubled. But now, wait a minute. Saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer to get rid of the fear. I like that. Be of good cheer to get rid of the fear. I hit on that just a little bit last night. He said, "It is I, be not afraid." Now, they were afraid because they didn't really recognize who he was. But Jesus can do anything.
Yeah.
He made the water, and he can walk on it. He can do anything he wants to with it.
Right.
And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll be like Peter. We'll have little faith. And the Bible says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." If that is really you, Jesus, that's walking on the water, I want you to let me come to thee walking on the water. And he said, "Come." Amen. Isn't that good? Come. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Yeah.
If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ, his invitation is simply come, just as you are,
right,
and he'll save you,
right,
if you believe him. And the Bible says, "And Peter went and went, the Bible said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." He was walking on the word. God said, come. He took God his own word and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But the Bible said in verse number 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. Oh, brother. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. He's a good catcher.
Amen.
You remember when he caught you?
Yes.
You remember that?
Amen.
Praise God. And he's holding on to you too.
Amen.
He caught you with an everlasting grip and hand and hold, and he'll never let go.
Amen.
Brother Lester Roloff said, preacher, he said, we may fall around in God's hand, but we'll never fall out of it.
Woo!
Boy, that's shouting grand. Y'all help me a little bit now. And immediately, the Bible said, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. My Father, thank you for the day. You sure are good to us. And we love you. And Lord, because you first loved us, and I want to thank you for safety on the highway to the house of God tonight. I thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for every individual that's in the house of God. Lord, would you bless them? Would you strengthen them tonight? Lord, should there be one here lost, undone without Christ, I pray tonight would be the night the Holy Ghost would convict them of their sin, and they come to this altar, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me and save my soul. God, stir those that may be in a backslid condition, and Lord, not enjoying the good things of God. Bless this church. Keep the doors open. Give them many souls for the labor. Truly revive us again and help me as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while on the subject, Peter walking on the water. Isn't that a blessing? Peter walking on the water. Now, there's three things I want to point out to you tonight in these verses of Scripture, chapter number 14 of Matthew, verse 26, down through verse number 33. That ought to be a real blessing and a real help and an encouragement to every one of us tonight. We find, first of all, that Peter was walking on the water, but we find the predicament that he was in, or the condition that he was in. Now, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water, and they were troubled. You know, a lot of things trouble us, don't it? I mean, Job said in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Then Jesus said to his 12 disciples in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
I'm glad if you have a troubled heart, I'm glad that you can run to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he is the answer to the troubled heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Peter said, casting all your care upon him. There's a reason, for he careth for you. Don't you ever forget tonight, I don't care who you are, how young you are, how old you are, Christ cares for you. David said in Psalm 55, in verse number 22, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Brother, if you look up that word sustain in that verse of Scripture, Psalm 55, 22, everything that you need for your flesh, everything that you need for your spirit is found in that one verse of Scripture. Matthew 6, 33, the Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I found that out. I've been saved for 44 years plus. God has never failed me. God has never let me down. God has never disappointed me. The Apostle Paul was writing the letter to the book of to the folk at Philippi, and it was in jail. And he was locked up in prison, a dirty, rotten jail, stinking, filthy jail. Wasn't this high-rise stuff you see today. But Paul said in Philippians 4:4, as he was in jail, he said, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm glad we can rejoice in the Lord. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse number 8, being saved was joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Nehemiah said, Nehemiah chapter 8, in the latter part of verse number 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. David sinned and David lost the joy of his salvation. But if you will read, you will find that David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said that in Psalm chapter number 51. And then the Bible says, the psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? One of the results of being of having old time revival is joy comes. Hallelujah. Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hey, ain't God good? I said, ain't the Lord good? Now, where was I? Here I am. And the Bible said they saw him walking on the water, and they were troubled. Troubled. Said, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Brother, they were troubled. You know something? If you're troubled tonight, God knows all about it. Amen. He knows all about it. And I'm going to tell you that God's bigger than all of our troubles. He's bigger than all of our tears. He's bigger than all of our testings. He's bigger than all of our trials. God is bigger and better than anything that may come, that we may come in contact with. Be of good cheer. That's what, hey brother, God wants us to have old time revival. God wants us to be of good cheer. God wants to cheer us up. Hallelujah. Not put us down, because you already been beat down. The devil will beat you down. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. If you watch soap operas, you're down. I'm telling you, if you watch soap operas, you are down. There ain't no way soap operas can ever get you up. They'll get you down and down and down. I don't know why I said that. I just thought it would. Because it's God's truth. We was by to see this woman one time, and she was watching some of that stuff. And oh, she was just down. I said, no wonder. What do you mean, preacher? No wonder you're down. Look what you're watching. Huh? That's make-believe. That's fantasy. That's not real stuff, boy. That's Hollywood stuff. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. A lot of things that get you down. I don't know what. You may not even have a TV. I don't know. You may not even ever watch that stuff. Of course, I know folk here in Danville don't watch stuff like that on TV. That's all down in North Carolina. I understand that. God bless you. Amen. But anyway, the Bible said, Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, I've been down before. I have been down before. If you've never been in the valley, then you don't even know what it feels like to know the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. And somebody said a valley is just a mountain turned upside down. Isn't that something? Just a mountain turned upside down. But you know something? When you're in the valley, you got a mountain on this side and a mountain on this side. And you can't always stay on the mountaintop. You have to come down. Hey, they tell me the grass is greener down in the valley. And the fruit grows bigger down in the valley. Oh, and when you're down in that valley and you eat that green grass, those good melons and cantaloupes and all of that good stuff, praise God, it gives you the strength to go up on the mountain and shout the victory, praise God. And if you're on the mountain, let me encourage you to stay there just as long as you can. Stay on that mountain just as long as you can stay on it, hallelujah. But I'm glad he's the lily of the valley. He's a bright in the morning star. He's a rose of Sharon. I'm glad, brother, when you're in the valley, he's down there with you. And when you're on a mountaintop, praise God, he's on a mountaintop with you. Say amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so Peter answered him, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Come on, praise God. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, you find that word afraid, my friend, used in verse number 26 or 27. When they saw, the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled. Same thing as being afraid. They was afraid. But Jesus said, be not, he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, the devil will try to get us afraid. Preacher, a man that witnessed to me about the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew him, I watched him, I worked with him. I worked with him, worked around him every day. He didn't just tell me about Jesus, he lived before me of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, brother, I called him brother. I said, if I could live a Christian life like you're living, I'd give my heart to Jesus. He said, you can. I said, how? And he wrote in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Greater, hey, 1 John 4:4, ye are, that's present tense word, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 5:4, the Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. God don't think more of me than he does of you. And he don't think more of you than he does of me. I'm glad the ground is level at the foot of the cross. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're somebody headed somewhere to see someone. And that means you are a child of God, and you're headed to heaven to see the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all those that died before you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We don't have to bow down to the world and the standards of the world and the ways of the world, but we can walk with Jesus and not be afraid to stand up and to testify and let others know that we're not ashamed of the one that died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. What a Savior. But he looked around. He looked around and he saw the wind was boisterous. And I looked up that word. And it means it was grave or serious or dangerous and deadly. I mean, they were used to the sea and they knew what it was to have a boisterous wind. They knew what it was, and they knew what kind of trouble that storm could bring, and it was a dangerous time. We're living in a dangerous world. We're living in a dangerous time. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Paul said this to young Timothy, right before, my friend, that he gave his life as a martyr. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, you find this. Paul said this now also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous there means dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. And so Paul said, although we're living in perilous times, he said to young Timothy, he said in verse number 12, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But look what he said. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of. Assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Boy, it was a dangerous time. I mean, storms come unexpectedly to us.
And sometimes they come singular, just one. And that's not so bad, seemingly. And maybe we can handle that with the help of the Lord. But sometimes they come in bunches like grapes. Sometimes they come in bunches like bananas. But I want to tell you, there won't come a bunch bigger than God is. Amen. Because God can handle our storms, whether it be finances, as I said last night, or family, or foes, or flesh, or sickness. God is bigger than anything that may arise and come our way. He was sinking and would have drowned only a matter of seconds. I wrote this down. He was sinking but caught on the way down. Peter was sinking, but it was caught on the way down. I remember when I was sinking. Y'all sing that song right here. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep and stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me and I said, am I? Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could come, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. You know what lifted Peter? It was the love of the Lord. You know what lifted me? It was the love of the Lord. You know what lifted you? It was the love of the Lord. All of us were sinking deep in sin. I sing that song like this once in a while. I was stinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and so were you, buddy, because the Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, brother. Boy, I'm glad God caught me. Oh, I was sinking. I was sinking faster than I even thought that I was. But I'm glad 44 years ago, when I repented and called on God and asked God to save me, I'm glad God caught me. Hallelujah. He's good, isn't he? You better believe it. I mean, this is a true picture of any sinner. Although Peter was not a sinner, he was a saved sinner. He was trusted in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what happened to him? He took his eyes off Jesus. That's what happened to him. He took his eyes off of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we better focus on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Hey, let's don't let the storms, let's don't let Satan, let's don't let sin, let's don't let the things of this world get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, we need to keep our eyes focused on the one that saved us, on the one that loved us, on the one that cleansed us, on the one that forgave us, on the one that sealed us. We need to focus on him and realize without him, we can do nothing. In John 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul said, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, buddy. I'm glad I'm on the solid rock. Praise God, you don't get off the solid rock. You're on the solid rock to stay for all time and for all eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He took his eyes off of Jesus. I know some folk is out of church tonight because they took their eyes off of Jesus. I know some folk, my friend, that one time was in the choir singing, one time playing the musical instruments in the house of God, one time teaching Sunday school, one time going on visitation, one time faithful to the house of God and giving their tithes and giving their offerings, one time enjoyed old time revival, one time enjoyed old time camp meeting, but they're not in church anymore. What happened, preacher? I tell you what happened. They got the eyes off the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my friend, rather than doing like Peter did and calling upon the name of the Lord to help him, they just kept going on and on and on. And now you can't get them in the house of the Lord. Yes, sir. What kind of a predicament are you in tonight? What kind of a condition are you in tonight? We've all had some predicaments, haven't we? We've all had some conditions that we could not understand. We've all had some people to forsake us that broke our heart. We all know what it is to lie in the bed at night and tears run down our face because somebody broke our heart, because somebody disappointed us, because somebody let us down. Oh, you know something? I'm glad God sees those tears. I'm glad he bottles up those tears, brother. I'm glad, praise God, he can come and wipe the tears away. I'm serving a God that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, aren't you? Oh, what a Savior we serve. What kind of predicament are you in tonight? Huh? You got some problems tonight you can't solve? You don't have a problem God can't solve. All right, let me give you one more thing about Peter walking under the water. We see the prayer that he prayed in verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying three words, Lord, save me. Isn't that a blessing? Lord, save me. There's power in those three words.
Yes.
Lord, save me. Everybody say it. Lord, save me. Here was a man that was saved, but he said, Lord, save me. Save me from drowning. Amen. And save me from being weak in my faith, because Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Now, somebody said this, and I like it. I like what somebody said. They said a little faith will get you to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to you. Praise God. You know what we want this week? We want a lot of faith. We want God to come to us. I mean, he's here because he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we know that he's here, for where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And one preacher said, that means he shows up, and then he shows up, and then he shows up. Boy, we just wanted to show up and show out. And let's have strong faith, because the Bible said in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's hear the word of God. Let's read the word of God and depend on the word of God. Let him show up. Hallelujah. Show up, show out. Amen. Praise God. Lord, save me. Three powerful words. Y'all have done said it one time. You don't have to say it again. Wait a minute. There was no time to put together an elaborate prayer. No time to tell Jesus that he had left his nets and followed him. No time to tell Jesus how good he had been and all the good that he had done. Amen. And it was no time. And it was no time to say, Lord, now, if you'll catch me, I tell you what I'll do. I'll promise you, Lord, that the next time I won't be so weak. Now, Lord, if you just hear my prayer, Lord, hey, if he'd have made a long prayer, somebody said the tadpoles would have been eating his toes off before he got through with it. There's a time for long praying.
Yeah.
There's a time for short praying.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
You better believe it. Sometimes you don't have time. And Peter didn't have time to pray a long prayer. He just said, Lord, save me. Is that what he said? He cried,
Amen.
Lord, save me. He knew he couldn't save himself. Lord, save me. I'm glad he's my lifeguard.
Yeah.
Hey, they say down on the beach, they still have lifeguards down there with people out swimming. I think you do around these swimming pools, don't you? A lot of these big swimming pools that have lifeguards. Is that what they call them? When they see somebody out there and they're struggling, and boy, they say, when you come up, you throw one hand up and you put it down, you're pretty good shape. You throw it up again, and you're just about over with. You throw it up again, somebody better get to them quickly because they're gone. I'm glad he's my lifeguard. I just thought of a verse of Scripture. And I want to give it to you before I forget it. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 5, look what the Bible said. The Bible said, who are kept by the power of God, how? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. That word kept, K-E-P-T, it means guarded. It means guarded, just like you guard your house and just like you guard a prisoner. I'm telling you that he is our guard. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. I'll let you know, friend, when there's trouble, he's your guard. He is your guard. He is your safety. Thank God he is all that you need. You can still depend on him and rely on him and trust in him. Because he never fails, he has never failed, and he never will. Say amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. No, sir. No time to say a big long prayer. Yes, sir. I remember when I got saved by the grace of God. I just simply said, Lord, I've been reading my Bible. I've been reading gospel tracts already under Holy Ghost conviction. I said that Sunday morning, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Save my soul. He saved my soul. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not a blessing, though. He saved my soul, brother. I'm depending on him who you're depending on. I'm trusting in him. Who are you trusting in? The Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing from God?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Instant salvation from a watery grave. Look, friend. Mark 8, 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One preacher said this. What has the devil got that's worth dying and going to hell over? He said, what has the flesh got that's worth dying and going to hell over? What has the world got that's worth dying and going to hell over? Brother, I'll tell you, I'm glad. Listen, I was witnessing my friend right after I got saved, and this man told me to go there. He told me to go there. And I told him, I said, I can't go there. His eyes got bigger than saucer. I said, why can't you go there? He said, why can't you go? I said, because I've been redeemed. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. And I said, praise God. The Lord never has lost one of his children, and he's not going to lose one now. I'm going to tell you, and that don't give you a license to sin. That just lets you know, praise God, that your sins are gone. And that lets you know, my friend, that Jesus Christ give you everlasting life and eternal life, and they'll give you the grace of God that you need to live for him and to love him until he comes back for you, or till you go out by the way of death. What a Savior we serve. Oh, yes, what a Savior we serve. Boy, God is good. Yes, sir. The only prayer for a sinner to pray, he needs to pray in the Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, save me. I wonder what that thief on the cross did
and said, when, boy, I got a message I preached about him, and I love to preach this message. In Luke chapter 23, verse number 41, and he indeed justly, this is one thief now talking to another one. This one recognized that he was a sinner. The other one didn't recognize. All he wanted to do was get off the cross. He didn't care anything about the Lord. But here's one that repented. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And that word amiss there means anything injurious or anything harmful or anything hurtful. He said, this man has never done anything to harm us. This man, Jesus, has never done anything to hurt us. Everything that he's ever done was done for us to help us. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Wait a minute now. Look what he said. He said, we indeed justly. He said, we're getting what we deserve. We deserve to die on this cross because we're thieves and we're robbers and murderers. We deserve what we're getting. But this man, Jesus, does not deserve what he's getting. He said, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now that's scripture. You better believe we're going to get rewarded according to our deeds. Boy, that ought to make us stop and think, shouldn't it? Stop and think about our deeds. Now wait a minute. Let's go on. Look what he said in verse number 42. And he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See, Jesus, Lord. Better read Romans 10, verse number 9. Goes right along with that. Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He realized that day he was lost. He realized he was a sinner, that it was on the road to hell. And he repented that day. He got saved that day. He died that day. And he went to heaven that day. Hold my baby while I shout, praise God. I'm going to tell you, brother, that was some more day that he never did. Brother James, 44 years plus been saved, I've never forgotten the day that the Lord saved me. And I hope I never do forget that day. I may get Alzheimer's? I may have Alzheimer's and forget who I am and who my wife is. I got a brother right now, he's 73. His wife is 72, and she has been in a rest home now with Alzheimer's for, what has it been altogether, about 2 years, right at 2 years? And now she don't even recognize her husband. And they've been married for a little over 50 years now. But you know something? I may forget the name of Jesus, but he won't never forget me.
Amen.
You may forget your companion's name or your children's name or your parents' name, but Jesus won't never forget you. Man was preaching, I heard him the other day, and he said, went in to see one of his members that had Alzheimer's, and she looked at him and said, do you know who I am? And she said, no, but if you'll ask that lady down at that desk, they can probably tell you. You listen to me? I mean, I might forget your name, and you may forget mine. And if you forget my name, you've lost nothing. But if you forget the name of Jesus, if it's because of sickness and Alzheimer's, you're still the winner because you're on the winning side.
Amen.
Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. You wait till I get my voice back. I'm going to sing it so loud. Praise God. I hope I get it back. I want to sing it so loud. Amen. They can hear it all the way up in glory. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the side that's already won. Praise
Amen.
God.
What a blessing to know that. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go on. Let's get on with it here. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he did. Thank God. Then let me show you something else. You find the power and the help he received in verse number 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. Boy, I'm glad he knows how to catch us, don't he?
Amen.
Just before he went under, he was caught by the Savior. He was saved by the Savior. If you had a loved one and you see they were in danger, maybe their house is on fire, just about ready to collapse, but you would do everything in the world in your power that you could to snatch them from the burning, wouldn't you? Suppose you had a loved one that was out in the swimming pool or out in the lake or the ocean and they was hollering and screaming for help. You would do everything in your power to run and to snatch them and to catch them and save them from the danger because you loved them.
Amen.
That's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. Jesus called him. He was going down, but Jesus called him. He stretched forth his hand. Isn't that a blessing? Peter was not out of reach of his hand, and neither are you. He was not out of reach. Peter was not out of reach of the Savior's hand, and you are not either. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Hey, turn to Isaiah. You got to turn over there just a minute now. Come on, I'm just about through. You say, just about through? You just started. I know it, but I'm just about through. Look in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Oh my. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath uttered perverseness. He said, that's why that he's not going to hear it, because your sin has separated between you and the fellowship of your wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad that he is my helper. Look in your Bibles, if you will, please, in Psalm 46. One of my favorite psalms out of the 150 psalms that's in the Bible. God is our refuge.
Amen.
And strength.
Amen.
Oh, thank God for that. That he said, a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Was Peter in trouble?
Yes, yeah.
Present help, that means somebody right beside of you. Was Jesus there beside of him? He's there beside of you tonight. He's there beside of me tonight. Therefore, will we not fear? That's what Jesus was telling that crowd, was telling Peter there in Matthew chapter 14. He said, watch this. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away, or be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. Y'all remember that song? There is a river. There is a river, and Jesus is that river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Did you get that? The Lord of hosts is with us. Now watch this. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. And it says, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. O Lord of hosts, he said, the Lord of hosts is with us. There's those who worship. again. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and meditate on what you just read. I read this psalm many times, ladies and gentlemen. But I got to read one day on those two words in verse number 10. Be still. Has your mom and dad ever told you to be still? Can y'all remember that far back? I can. I'm 68 and I can remember that far back. Be still. And if I didn't be still, she had a clamp. I mean, it would hold on, friend, till I would be still. You know something? Jesus said, when trouble comes, if you're not troubled, you'll get fidgety. You ever seen anybody fidgety? Are you listening? Be still. Now, I found out what those two words mean. What they mean. It's real deep now. You got a pencil, the paper. It's real deep. Now, you better get this real deep. Down, deep, down. Deep. You know what it means? It means simply, take your hands off. Take your hands off. He's still in control.
Amen.
Praise God. He's still in control, brother. There's been a lot of times in my life, I'm pastoring now for, you believe I've been pastoring the same church, the only church going on 39 years in May.
Praise God.
I think maybe I'm probably going to try to make it 40 years now. And I had some folks say, well, you better not leave here in 40 years, praise God. We want you to stay at least 20 more. I said, I don't think I'll ever make it. But there's been a lot of times in pastoring the same church, the only church almost 39 years, I just had to take my hands off of it. I just worried myself sick trying to fix it myself. God said, take your hands off of it. Just let me handle it. Let me take care of it. How many of you done that before? Raise your hand. Stuck your hands off. Isn't that good? Just take your hands off and let God have control. That's what revival is about. To encourage you. That's one thing revival is good for. And I don't care if you got 10, 5, or 10, or 15, or 20. Every church needs old time revival. Don't make no difference how many people's there. We just need to be encouraged and strengthened. I got some preachers won't have revival because they don't run. But well, some of them run about 15, 16, and 70, and 80. But they say during revival meeting, you can't get half of them to come. Well, what about the half that does come? They need something. They need reviving. They need encouragement. It is discouraging when you have revival meeting. People lay out and don't come. But thank God for those that are. Those that will come. Oh, yes, my friend. Well, I'm just about through now. What else did they do? They worshiped him in verse number 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What else happened, preacher? They went over on the other side. Verse number 34, they got to the other side. Amen. You know what happened? They were above the water. They were above danger. They were above evil. They were above the circumstance. Have you ever asked anybody, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. You ever see? Sometimes we're under them. That's all it is to it. We're doing all right under the circumstances. Well, God wants us on top of the circumstances. I remember my oldest son. He was about 18, I think, 17. And I was in a revival meeting. Oh, Lord, that's been a long time because he's 42 years old, man. 42? Be 43 when? Sunday? 43? Sunday? This coming Sunday? You sure? I was about to forget it. And this was it. I was down on the side of Greensboro in a revival meeting, and he met this little girl with me, and so he met her on Monday night, so I didn't have any problem getting him to go back every night that week. Y'all get that a little bit. But he really liked that girl. He just really liked that girl. And they called one another, talked a little bit on the phone. I think they may have written a letter or two to each other. Well, it didn't last about, I don't know, maybe 6-8 months, and they broke up, and he was so sad. Yeah. I said, son, there's plenty more girls out there. Great day in the morning. We'll just have to pray that God will send you another girlfriend. He said, well, pray that it won't be long. I don't blame him, praise God. Bobby Grubb said, people talk about these young people, 16, 17, 18, they have a little girlfriend, a boyfriend, and it breaks up. He said, oh, that's puppy love. He said, it might be puppy love, but it's hard on the puppy. Bless God, he's right. Hard on the puppy. You know this. You've been there, praise God. You ain't that old. You ain't forgot that. I was driving my 55 Chevrolet today and went to the post office to mail some radio tapes. And I got out of the car, and this woman, she looked at me, I guess, about as old as I am, 68 or 69 or 70. She said, she rolled glass, and she said, I really like that car. She said, I thought that was my old boyfriend coming to pick me up. She said, my boyfriend had a car. She said, it wasn't that color. It wasn't red and white. It was green and white. And I thought that was him to come get me. I said, well, I didn't come get you. Amen. I mean, she was probably older than me anyway. Well, I don't know how she was. Amen. See, she remembered that date in a 55 Chevrolet. Absolutely. Hey, I want to tell you something. God's good to us. I hope the message tonight stirred your heart. Now, let me ask you something. You may be going through something tonight, and you've got your hands on it, and you think you're going to work it out. Could be concerning your children. Could be finances. Could be on your job. And you're just down and out. Why don't you find your place on this altar? This is what this altar is for. Brother Mays Jackson said he's preaching the message one time, and he's preaching on gossip and preaching on the tongue. He said this woman came up to him. He said, Brother Mays, I've got a problem with my tongue of gossiping. And she said, I want you to pray for me. He said, ma'am, get on the altar. We got 40 feet of it. Maybe then I'll take care of part of it. Praise God. I guess one reason he said that, it was probably Friday night, and he knew he was going to be leaving out the service. All right, let's stand our feet. Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Pianist is coming, song leader's coming. Nobody's looking on. I'm going to turn it back to the pastor and preach in just a few minutes. How many of them would say, preacher, I heard the message tonight. Heard the message tonight about Peter walking on the water. You say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved. I know I am. Would you raise your hand right now? Raise it real high and just wave it if you know you're saved. Thank you very much. You may take your hand down. How many say, preacher, I'm in the building tonight, and I don't know that I'm saved, and I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Say, pray for me. How many say, preacher, I'm here tonight, I know that I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that's not right, and I need to get them right. Would you raise your hand right now? Be honest. God bless you. Is there one more? God bless you, ma'am. Is there one more? God bless you. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, if you would come, acknowledge. That word confess means acknowledge. Acknowledge your sin and come and ask God to forgive you. I'm glad that he will. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, there are some things going on in my life or in my family or on the job that I just don't know what to do except just to come tonight and turn it all over to Jesus. And I want to take my hands off and turn them into his hands. Would you raise your hand tonight? Keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
Thank you. My Father, use the message tonight. I've give it my best. Tonight, Lord, I have give it my best. And Lord, I want you to take the message and speak to hearts. Lord, many have raised their hands tonight that they just need to get on this altar and take their hands off and turn it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in doing what you want us to do. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Brother Billy, what are we singing tonight?
I need thee every hour.
Oh, man, what a good. Say that again. I interrupt you there.
318. I need thee every hour.
Do you need him every hour? Some have already come. Why don't you come tonight? You need him every hour. That's right. That's right, man.
I need thee every hour.
Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing another verse. Oh, we do. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee.
Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing another verse. Every hour I need thee, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. All right, thank you. You may look this way. Some are still praying. Just go ahead and keep playing. I'll turn it back to the pastor in just a second. Well, thank you for coming, and I want you to pray. I'll be back here tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night. I got a message God gave me today on salvation, a simple plan of salvation. How many of you know somebody that's lost without God? Would you raise your hand right now? Okay. I tell you what, how many of you will invite somebody, a sinner or a backslider, to come to this meeting this week? Would you raise your hand? You call them on the phone. Pester them. Call them. Persuade them. And I believe God will use that message to save some sinners this week. Dear brother, back in the back there, preacher, I appreciate you coming. Tell me your name again.
John Cruz.
Cruz. I'm sorry, Brother Cruz. I asked if you was any kin to James Cruz, a preacher in Mayodan. He's 78 years old, and this is going to be his pastor for over 50 years, and he's retired after this month. But I appreciate this brother. He told me, he said, "Preacher, I've never met you, but," he said, "I used to listen to you preach when you was on WMO in Reedsville." Amen. 100,000 watt. Yes. Watts. I was wild. They still call me the wild man. But I don't jump quite as high as I used to. I'm going to try to get that. Sir? Amen. Wild for Jesus. I like it. I like that name, really. I do. Wild man from Mayodan. I like it. Thank you for coming, brother. Thank all of you for coming. Preacher, it's all yours, my friend.
Amen.